Well, talking about one of my favorite all-time heroes of the Bible, and what's interesting is we know very little about him. And this is the last message before the Christmas season is officially coming here in the next few days, this weekend. And like I said, he's one of my favorite heroes, and this would be Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite heroes of the Bible. And the scripture does not tell us much about him, so we're, based on what we do read, we have to speculate a little bit and derive some knowledge from what the Bible says. So I want to begin in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And Matthew is beginning to tell the birth of Jesus story. And that also happens, I think, in Luke. Those are the only two Gospels, I believe, that actually tell the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. But Matthew's version is a little different. And he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, this is how it happened. That's what he's saying. Birth of Jesus Christ, this is how it happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot in that sentence. We know that Mary was engaged to Joseph, and it says, before they came together, that means as man and wife. They weren't married yet. They were just engaged. They were espoused. But you know, something about that culture is being engaged is the same as being married. So it's just as serious. And here nowadays, we don't take it as seriously. We don't take our vows seriously. We were talking about that earlier, Glenn. We don't take our vows seriously. But back then, it was not uncommon for a girl to be fairly young and arranged marriages with other people. So, for example, it's not uncommon for Mary to be anywhere from, 13 to 16 years old, possible. And Joseph could have been well 10 years older than her. I mean, in that culture, typically an older man would have been in a more stable environment. In other words, you want to marry someone who is not on welfare, and they didn't have welfare back then, but you want to marry somebody who is in a stable type of work environment and able to support and keep his wife and keep her safe and keep her have a home. And the idea is to raise a family. And so Mary was espoused to Joseph, probably was an arranged marriage. Not sure about that. We're not told. We're just basically told that somehow that they met and became engaged to one another. But then it says, before they were married or before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so not only the age difference, but here Mary goes off to visit her cousin Elizabeth for about 3 months, and she returns, and what do you know? She has a baby bump. Now, that would be the talk of the town, wouldn't it? You come back after being gone for 3 months, and all of a sudden you have a baby bump. People want to know what happened. And so she would immediately become the talk of the town. Nazareth wasn't a very large place, by the way. And it would not take long for the rumor mill to really kick in and go into overdrive, and everybody would know something about it. Rumors, speculations, accusations, name-calling maybe. Mary probably had to endure quite a bit. And what's interesting to note also is that, like I said, engagement was not something to be taken lightly. Engagement was just the same as being married. And because of that, in order to split, you would have to actually have a writing of divorce. I mean, there's no way around it. You were espoused to be married, and at that moment, you essentially were considered married, even though you weren't actually married in the sense that, of like we do, the giving of rings, and you may now kiss the bride kind of deal. But no, they haven't had their actual marriage ceremony, but they were engaged. So here we have Mary now, who is the talk of the town, and Joseph is in a very peculiar position right now. See, he don't know what Mary knows. It's a lot of times we don't know what other people are going through. We don't know what their situation is. We have a tendency to judge very quickly. Oh, God forgive me, all the times I've ever judged anybody without knowing the whole truth and the facts. But I only see one perspective of it. And I may not see the whole picture. And because of that, I may make rash or harsh judgments about someone or something, and it be totally off the mark, all because I don't understand what it is. So I would caution each and every one of us, when you see or you find out about something that just don't sound right, you know, that shouldn't have happened, you know, take a pause, okay? Take a pause and understand that there may be more to the story that you just don't know yet. And because of that, I mean, you know, you have no idea. So let's just be careful. In fact, I've seen it written on Facebook before. Sometimes you can find some good things on Facebook, other times not. But it said, if you're going to put me down on a prayer list. And I like that. I like to be put down on a prayer list. So if you have an inclination to put me down, if you hear a bad rumor about me, whether you tell me or not, if you hear a bad rumor about me, put me down on a prayer list, because that's what I need. And this is what Mary needed. And Joseph did not understand what was going on. And if you try to put yourself in his position, it really puts him in a predicament, because the penalty for what has happened from his perspective is death. She should be killed by stoning. And that's a horrible death. And think about this. She would be, like I said, 13 to 16 years old, possibly 17, young lady. And to die by stoning would have been an awful, awful death. And so let's look at verse 19 here, chapter 1, verse 19. And so Joseph, her husband, notice how it refers to him as her husband already. They're not married yet, but it refers to him as her husband. It says, being a just, which means righteous, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, or privately, if you would say it in our day and time, privately. So here Joseph was in a situation that would normally cause a world of hate. I mean, this is his fiancée. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, this picture is all wrong. And so now he's got to do something about it. And it's usually in that culture, the man had to do it. It wasn't up to the woman to write a divorcement. The man had to decide whether to divorce. But already, it names him as the husband, but he was a just man. He was a righteous man, a godly man, we would say. He was a godly man. He followed God. He loved God. And I'm sure he loved people. And I'm quite sure he loved Mary. And that probably was the hardest part of his predicament. I think his heart was broken. You talked about being down. That would put you down. That would put you down in a place where it would be hard to come out from. But You know, our day and time, people are shot over less offenses than this. We were talking about that earlier, Glenn, and it's funny how a lot of our conversations seem to work in its way to the scriptures here, but even in Chicago, where, or maybe it was me and Doug, we were talking about that. We were talking about the killings and everything that go on there. People get shot just by saying the wrong thing. So imagine Joseph. Joseph, he knew what the law was. The law was that she should be stoned to death. But he knew, and I guess this would have been the hardest part, he knew that the child was not his. That's not my child. So he had to do something about it. But I think he had a love for Mary that surpassed even his hurt. Because rather than hate her, he decided, you know what? I'm not going to make her a public example. I'm going to divorce her privately. I don't want to shame her, but at the same time, I can't marry her. But he didn't want to put her through anything worse than what she was probably feeling already. And so Joseph was a just man, righteous man, a godly man, who was going to do this privately. And by the way, he would not be considered innocent himself. People would accuse him of being complicit in what had happened. So they might would accuse him. And so his reputation would be ruined. But I think he had a love for Mary, and I think that's why he did not want her dead. He did not want anything to happen to her, and so he didn't want to make a public display of her. Why shame her in public? Let's do it privately and just put it aside, and then that way we'll just go our own separate ways. So this is Joseph's thinking. Okay, so verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, so you know this was on his mind, even up until the time he fell asleep. It's amazing. But sometimes the Lord can't speak to us when our mind is focused on other things besides him. And so when Joseph falls asleep, the angel comes to him in a dream. So while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Now, she probably already told him that, but who in their right mind would believe it? Especially when there's been a 400-year silence, I guess you would call it, from God. Up until the time John the Baptist was born and Jesus' birth, God has not spoken, at least not in by way of the prophets, to Israel. So here he is now, all of a sudden these two babies are being born and it's causing quite a stir. For John, it was a very happy occasion, but for Mary, it was a very sad occasion in the sense that it was a lot of scandal involved in this. And Joseph was caught up in the middle. And though he decided he was going to go ahead and divorce her, he still loved her. But the Lord knew what was on his heart, so he sent an angel in his dream to explain to him to go ahead and take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. You know, I know you got these thoughts, it's not yours, but don't be afraid to take her. He said, because what she has is from the Holy Ghost. And I am so glad that Joseph, he's not like one of us. We would probably second guess that. Did an angel really say this in a dream? Or is God really speaking to me? You know, we do that, I think, sometimes too much. We're not praying for discernment to hear the voice of God. We need to hear the voice. Yeah, we need to listen to him. And in fact, when Eli when Samuel was a little boy, he heard his name being called out in the middle of the night, and he ran to Eli, the priest, and he said, "Here I am," and or "Here am I," based on the way the King James says it. And Eli says, "Go back to bed. I didn't call you." And so it happened, I think, three times, and Samuel was very obedient, and he come running to Eli every time he heard his voice, thinking it was Eli. And finally, Eli, the high priest, catches on. He figures, he says, "You know what? There's another voice talking to you." He said, "Next time you hear this voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant listens.'" And that's, I think sometimes we need to do that. Pray, but sit silent at times so the Lord can get a word in edgewise. Sometimes I think we want to do all the talking and we don't want to let the Lord get a word in edgewise. So at times we need to just be still and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens," and wait. Wait and see if you hear anything, or something comes to you, an inspiration, something. The Lord may be speaking to you in whispers, and you just don't hear him. Pray for that discernment that it is from the Lord. Exactly. You have to know this, and you have to listen for him. And so Joseph, it goes to sleep, and this is on his mind, and the angel speaks to him. So at this point, Joseph didn't even have the full explanation yet until the angel visited him in a dream. And so the angel explains the situation to Joseph, and I think partly was to ease his fears, because he actually told him to fear not, don't have any fear. So it eased his fears in that regard, but now he knows what to do. He's being told what to do. He said, "Go ahead and take Mary as your wife." And then in verse 21, it says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And what I love about this is that the moment Joseph woke up, I don't know if it was immediately or it was the next morning, I don't know when this happened, but when he woke up, he did not hesitate. He did not hesitate to do what the angel said. And he went ahead and he took Mary as his wife. And the interesting part, being human as he is, being human as any husband would be, he had no relations with her until after Jesus was born. Okay? So in that regard, Joseph becomes one of my all-time great heroes. So not only did he want to spare her the public example of an adulterous woman, but Joseph married her in faith of what he had heard in the dream. And Joseph, he actually was able to teach the trade that he himself had, being a carpenter. He taught it to Jesus, because in Mark, I think it's in Mark, they say, "Well, isn't this the carpenter's son?" referring to Joseph. And then in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew, where it says, "Well, isn't this the carpenter?" In fact, let's read the next scripture. I think I put it in there, Matthew 6 and 3. And I'm going to close on this one. Matthew 6 and 3 says this, "Is this not the carpenter?" So I think Jesus himself was also a carpenter, just like Joseph. And he said, "The son of Mary." Now this, folks, you gotta understand that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She was not. She was when she had Jesus, but no longer, because they went on to say, "The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon." So already we're given four names of his brothers, of Jesus' brothers. "And are not his sisters here with us?" So we don't know how many sisters, but the word sisters is plural, so he had at least two. So that's six in the family, not counting Jesus. That would make seven, at least, a minimum of seven people in that family. And on this one scripture, I'm going to close. The thing that saddens me about Joseph, he never got to see him as a grown man. Because after Jesus went to the temple, I think it was during Passover, they went to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus went to the temple and somehow got separated from the family, and then they left and came back and had to hunt for him and found him in the temple disputing with the religious people, the lawyers and whatnot, and not only asking questions but giving answers. You know, how amazing of what he knew at that young age. He was 12. And that's the last we hear of Joseph. We think he died. Don't know how. Don't have any idea of how he died. But after that, he's no longer mentioned in Scripture. But the fact that he never got to see Jesus as a man, it saddens me. Also, he never got to witness any miracle that Jesus performed. And so that saddens me. I feel like Joseph, as good a man as he was, there was so much he missed. But he couldn't be there while Jesus was about his father's business, his real father's business. So Joseph could not be there. And so I wonder, and my mind works this way, I don't know about yours, but I wonder that when Jesus rose from the grave, rose from the dead, and he went back to heaven, he led captivity captive, and that would have included Joseph. So Joseph would have been gone to heaven. Would he have reunited with Jesus? That's a question that's always pondered in my brain. Would Joseph, his earthly father, have been reunited with Jesus? And wonder what that was like if it happened. So it saddens me that he missed so much, but at the same time, Joseph was such a godly man that the Father entrusted him with his only begotten Son. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's close with that. If anybody wants to remain behind after I say the closing prayer, please feel free. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of your word here, the Bible. And God, thank you for Joseph. He's a hero in my mind. And Lord, I thank you for all of the people that we have studied throughout this Christmas season. And Lord, let the season itself, we don't really know when Jesus was born, but the fact that we celebrate his birth, Lord, is a good thing. We can do that. And Lord, I pray that we will remember Jesus and not so much the gift giving. And all the things, all the trappings that go with it, Lord. I pray that you help us to always keep in mind that Jesus came to this earth as a man, lived as a man, died as a man, but became our God. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.